Would you be so kind as to pray for me for a moment? Pray that I'll be able to speak the Lord's words to you, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants you to hear. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
We hear in our readings about two vineyards that have two different problems. Although the parables start out very similarly, planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a winepress in it, built a tower. The two vineyards actually have two different problems. And they are our problems. The first vineyard produces sour grapes. The second vineyard produces good fruit, but those who tend the vineyard, the stewards of the vineyard, don't share it with the owner. St. Paul, in our second reading, spoke about a problem that we have, a problem of anxiety. And he told us flatly, have no anxiety at all. Have no anxiety at all. That would be nice if that were just a switch that we could flip, huh? Oh, okay. Thanks, St. Paul. Now I know. As if any of us want any anxiety, right? How do we have no anxiety at all? Well, he goes on to tell us that too. And then he also tells us what things to focus on. Whatever is true and good and beautiful. Think of these things. And it turns out that St. Paul is giving us the remedy for our two vineyard problems. And furthermore, we find that remedy right here in the Mass. What a gift. So let's start with the sour grapes. What are those sour grapes that we produce? Pope Francis, perhaps the first pope in history, I'm sure the first pope in history, has called Christians not to be sourpusses. Only Pope Francis could say that. It's in his first apostolic exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, that we're not to be sourpusses. So it gives us a sense of what these sour grapes are like, that we produce in our lives these sour grapes, negativity and criticism and gossip and backbiting, and then we steal and we have these mixed motives and our hearts are twisted around our own selfish desires. And it doesn't take too much imagination to get our hands around where those sour grapes are in our lives. And we can be aware of the places that we're producing the fruit of sour grapes, that we've become sourpusses. St. Paul says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. If we could use our imagination for just a moment and think of what our lives would be like if those were the only things we thought about. If the only things that we allowed to get some traction inside of us and that we really acknowledge, we have temptations, we have thoughts that come from all over the place. All of us have these crazy thoughts that come in. But if the only ones we chose to think about and to speak about and to act on were those that were true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and gracious, what wonderful conversations we would have. What a wonderful interior environment we would have. It would be a place that angels would like to dwell in us, rather than the demons that find a home in those vineyards that produce sour grapes. In our psalm, our little friend sang for us, God of hosts, let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. Saved from sour grapes. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved, because what is more honorable and just, beautiful and lovely and gracious than the face of our God? And you know, we have that opportunity right here in the Eucharist. In a very particular way, when I hold up the host, when I hold up the chalice, what's happening? The face of God is shining on us. And when we have our personal encounter with Him in Holy Communion, what's happening? The face of our God is shining on us. And that can become our singular meditation. And we can produce good fruit. But let's look at the other vineyard for a moment, the vineyard of the gospel. The vineyard of the gospel has its own problems. The owner has planted that vineyard. The owner has prepared the ground. The owner has dug a hedge and put a watchtower, and he's prepared everything. And the owner wants to share in the fruits. And in fact, we can imagine that the owner just wants to make everything better. What's better than grapes? Wine. The owner wants to make wine out of our grapes. He just wants to make them better. But that leads us to our second problem that St. Paul also talked about when he said, have no anxiety at all. One of the reasons, now anxiety has lots of things and we have to move in a path, but one of the reasons that we make ourselves anxious, let me say it that way, sometimes we have anxiety for biological and chemical, psychological, whatever reasons. That's its own struggle. But one of the ways that we make ourselves anxious, that's what we can do something about. One of the ways that we make ourselves anxious is when we try to do everything on our own. When we think that everything depends on me. That makes us all very anxious because at a deeper level, every one of us knows I can't do it. I need to do things that are greater than what I can accomplish on my own. But it depends on me, and so I'm anxious because now I'm doing something that I know I can't do. And that dissonance in us is one of the ways we make ourselves anxious. And the remedy for that is to do precisely what the owner wants us to do in the gospel. Bring the fruits to God and recognize that He is with us, that it doesn't all depend on us, that it's not all about us. Bring Him the fruits of our labor. Bring Him the fruits of our efforts. Bring Him the fruits of our love. When we come and bring all of it to the Lord and say, okay, I did my best, Lord, here it is. And we lay it before Him. Let go and let God. Hand it over. Oh, it's a relief. It's your problem, Lord. One of my favorite lines from John the 23rd in the midst of the Second Vatican Council, which was an incredible affair and already started debating heavily toward the beginning. At the end of one of the days, John the 23rd went to his room and said, Lord, it's your church. I'm going to bed. When we can lay it before Him, give it to Him, hand it over, give Him the fruits, give Him the failures, give Him our efforts, give everything to Him. That process of giving it to Him is the ease of our anxiety. It's what St. Paul also says. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Give it to God. And where you need help, ask for help. And again, it's precisely what we do in this Eucharist. In just a moment, we're going to ask for help. We're going to speak some petitions for all of us, but we need to add our own petitions to that. Ask the Lord for help. Don't hold on to your anxiety and believe the lie that it all depends on you. Give it to God. Ask for help. And then it's what we do in the offertory as well. We give Him the fruits of our labor. Lord, I did my best this week. Those are the spiritual fruits, and we also make concrete fruits. I'll invite you, rather than just throwing your dollar into the basket, make it a sacred action of prayer. Give it to Him. Share the fruits with the Lord. It's a sacred action. And whether or not you put a dollar, $1,000, whatever you put in the basket, make that offering to the Lord as the bread and wine are brought to the altar. That's our lives. We make that offering to him and we remind ourselves, it doesn't all depend on me. And at the end of the day, I'm going to give it to the Lord. Bread and wine and even the dollar or the $1,000 are not actually that interesting. But what God makes them into is really interesting. The fruit of his sacrifice, the fruit of his vineyard, the fruit of his love, his own body and blood. And then we return to that first part. Let your face shine on us, and we shall be saved. So as we make our offering and make our petitions, remember, it's not all about you. God is with you. He loves you, and he receives all our efforts. And then as those are transformed and perfected in his sacrifice, think about these things, what is lovely and gracious and beautiful and good. And your lives, too, will produce not sour grapes, but good and wonderful fruits that are pleasing to the Lord. Amen.